I've entitled the message for this morning, Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide, or the Lord will see to it. Jehovah Jireh. I was reading a book several years ago on preaching, and it was different, what they call Reformed authors, giving their thoughts on different aspects of preaching. And I want to remind us that the truth never needed to be reformed. And the very idea of reformed, well, they call prisons reformatories. And that's just a wrong way to look at things, reformed. But at any rate, I was reading this book about preaching, and in one chapter, the author warned about spiritualizing texts and reading things into them that are not there. And he used Genesis 22 as the great example of preachers spiritualizing texts. And his argument was this: the point of Genesis 22 is Abraham's obedience. That is the purpose of this passage of Scripture, to show the necessity of obedience. And look in verse 12 of this chapter. And he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me." Look in verse 16. We'll be considering this in the next couple of weeks. He said, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I'll bless thee." Now it sounds there that the reason he is going to bless him is because of his act of obedience. If you didn't have any of the rest of the scriptures and this is all you had to read, that's what you'd conclude, isn't it? Let's go on reading, verse 17. "That in blessing I'll bless thee, and in multiplying I'll multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." The reason all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed is because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now, if this is all we had, we can conclude salvation is according to our obedience. But will that stand up with the rest of the scriptures? No, it won't. That's the natural man's unaided view of the scripture without the Holy Spirit. This is all he sees. This man saw this story as nothing but to show us the importance of obedience. And he said, men spiritualize this, and they take this story and try to make it a gospel story. And you know what I did at that point? Well, first of all, I called the author something that I shouldn't have called him. And then I took the book and I threw it against the wall. And I said, I will never look at that book again. And you know what? I haven't. I love what Walter Gruver said about Genesis chapter 22. He said, if a man can't preach the gospel from Genesis 22, he needs to find something else to do. I agree. Verse 1. "And it came to pass after these things." Now, I love this statement that is found hundreds of times in the scripture. "It came to pass." God purposed it, and it came to pass. You know, that's true with regard of everything that happens in this universe. It came to pass because God purposed it. after these things? Well, we have approximately 50 years of the history of Abraham recorded. A lot of things happened during those 50 years. A lot of things. But now he's getting ready to face his greatest trial. At this time, Abraham is 120 years old. Now you'd think he'd have a break by now. He's gone through so many things. But his greatest trial is given here toward the end of his life. The same could be true for me and you. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. Now every time the Lord called out his name, it preceded a trial. Every time, without exception. Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. And I kind of think he probably winced when he heard his name. What now? And he, God, said, take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac. Now notice he calls Isaac your only son, and Ishmael is not acknowledged as a son. You see, the law can never produce a son of God. Only the gospel can. Take now thy son, and notice how poignant each word is. Take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now, these mountains, Mount Moriah, is the same mountain that Solomon would one day build the temple on. This is where Jerusalem would one day be. Hadn't been built yet. Mount Calvary was in this mountain range. The land of Moriah. It means the place God has chosen. And you take your son, whom you love, your only son, and take a knife and slit his throat. This is what's involved. Let the blood run out. Quarter him. Put him on the altar and burn him up unto me. Somebody's thinking, I could not do that. And I understand that. I could not do that. You could if you believed that God would give you the grace to do it, because you believed that God had promised that the Messiah was going to come through that son you're killing. And you believed that God that very day would raise him from the dead, and that your Savior would come through that man. If you believe that, if God gave you the grace to believe it, you'd do it. You'd do it. Every believer in this room would do it if they believed what God had promised, that God would raise this one that you're offering up from the dead that very day. And Abraham did believe that. Look at verse 5. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. He knew that they would return again. He knew that his boy would be raised from the dead because God promised. You see, Abraham knew God. God cannot lie. Whatever God says must necessarily come to pass. And he said the Messiah, the promised seed, is going to come through Isaac. Abraham believed that. I want to read a passage of scripture from Hebrews chapter 11. The New Testament points this out. Verse 17 of Hebrews chapter 11. You might want to turn with there. Verse 17. The inspired writer says, by faith Abraham, Hebrews 11, 17. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, speaking of this, offered up Isaac. And he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead. Abraham knew that. He believed that. And in Abraham's mind, the deed was done. Before it took place. Verse 3, Genesis 22, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he clave the wood for the burnt offering. You know, I would have probably thought, well, let's just wait and see if we can find any wood when we get there. And I'd probably be hoping we won't find it. And so this won't take place. But Abraham left nothing like that to... He clave the wood ahead of time, didn't he? He clave the wood ahead. You see, in his mind, the deed was done. Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him, then on the third day. Now remember, it had already taken him place in his mind. And on the third day. What's the significance of that? The resurrection of Christ after 3 days. You see, he was going to be raised that very day. In Abraham's mind, the deed was already done. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. I'm sure there was a lot of pain in seeing this place. There wasn't anything easy about Abraham offering up his own son. And there wasn't anything easy about God offering up his only begotten and well-beloved son. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, remember those two men that he took with him? He said, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad, just us, we'll go yonder and worship and come again to you. Now, why did he leave these two young men behind? Well, I believe there's a couple of reasons. Number one, he probably knew they would have prevented him from doing this. These are young men, and they could have easily physically overcome Abraham. Abraham was an old man, 120 years old. And he knew if I take these fellas, that they'll try to prevent this from taking place. But more than that, the transaction between the father and the son, men were shut out. You remember what happened while Christ was hanging on the cross? The sun quit shining. Me and you are not really going to much understand what was going on. This is a transaction between the Father and the Son. And I love the way he makes this simple statement. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and what? Worship. Worship. It's been said that Abraham's obedience was the act of worship. Now, while we admire Abraham's obedience, don't make a statement, don't think a statement like that. Abraham's obedience wasn't the act of worship. The sacrifice was the act of worship. And let me repeat that. Abraham's obedience was not the act of worship. The sacrifice is the focal point of this passage. The sacrifice is the act of worship. Abraham and Isaac were going to sacrifice. When God told Moses to tell Pharaoh, let my people go, that they may go into the wilderness and offer a sacrifice. There is no worship without the substitutionary sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a man worships God, first of all, when he worships an absolute sovereign. You can't manipulate him. You can't get him to respond to you. He's God. He's absolutely sovereign. And if you're worshiping a God that you can manipulate, you're worshiping an idol, a man-made God. Doesn't exist. The God of the Bible is the absolute sovereign. And the only way you worship God is when you look nowhere but the sacrifice of Christ. That only is worship. Anything else, call it what you want, it's not worship. Abraham said, I and the lad are going to worship. And then we're going to come again to you. He knew that God was going to raise his son from the dead, because God promised the Messiah is coming through him. There's no salvation if there's no resurrection. You know, the gospel is predicated upon the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's one reason why I'll be saved. Because Christ accomplished what he came to accomplish. He put away my sin and he was raised from the dead. All of my hope, all of my salvation is predicated upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Abraham understood that. Abraham understood that the only way he would be saved is through that coming Messiah who's going to come through Isaac and keep the law for him, die in his stead, and be raised from the dead. Did Abraham know that? Sure he did. Sure he did. He understood. That's why. That's what was behind his act of obedience. God giving him the grace to obey because of that. Verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. Now we read of another time when someone carried the wood of their own execution to a mountain, don't we? This is such an obvious type, a glorious type of the Lord Jesus Christ as he carries his own cross up the mountain. Isaac, what a type of Christ. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. Isaac is carrying the means of his execution, the cross, and Abraham, the type of the father, executing his son, is carrying what would be used to execute him, the knife and the fire. And they went both of them together. Now, how did Abraham feel as he's walking up this mountain, knowing that he was going up there to slice his son's throat, quarter him, put him on an altar, and burning him up as a burnt offering unto the Lord? What must Abraham have been thinking? Verse 7, and Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And I bet that pierced through his heart. And he said, here am I, my son. And Isaac knew something about worship. He'd been taught by his father. And look at his question. Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? We got the fire, we got the wood, but where's the lamb? Now, my dear friends, that question should be asked with regard to every message we hear. Where's the lamb? Have we learned what Paul meant when he said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified? Where's the lamb? And you know, I'm to ask myself every time I prepare a message, where's the lamb? If the lamb's not there, God wasn't in that message. You believe that? I'm talking about every message, without exception. If the lamb's not there, God wasn't in that. Where is the lamb? I don't know how many times I've heard preaching and thought, where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? Verse 8, and the whole gospel is contained in this verse. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Listen to me. There's nothing you could provide that God would accept. Do you know that? There's nothing that you could provide that God will accept. But here is the gospel. What God requires, God provides. Everything God requires, God provides. God will provide himself a lamb. There's nothing that you could bring to God that he could accept. He's God. He's holy. You're not. I'm not. But here is the gospel. What God requires, he provides. And don't miss this. God provides for himself. For God to do something for me or you, he had to first do something for himself. You see, God is not going to save in a way that's contrary to any of his attributes. It's not going to happen. God's not going to save in a way where any of his attributes are compromised. I mean, he's just. He's holy. He's righteous. He's sovereign. All of his attributes must be honored and glorified. So God provides for himself. I love that passage of scripture where God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Not when you see it. When I see the blood. As a matter of fact, the folks in the house couldn't see the blood, could they? When I see the blood. You see, God did something for himself. He made a way for himself to be absolutely just and justify somebody unjust like me or you in a way that honors his justice and honors his holy law. It's called how God can be just and justify the ungodly. That's the gospel. God provides for himself the way for him to do something for you. Now, God's the one who does the providing. God provides for himself, and God provides himself as the Lamb. He is. Where's the Lamb of God? God the Lamb. He is the Lamb of God. The Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The universe was created for the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The subject of the eternities. God will provide himself. You know what we're going to be singing in glory? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Oh, I love that passage in Revelation 5 where John says, no man was found worthy. I wept much. The angel said, weep not. The Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to open the book and loose the seals thereof. And John said, I looked and lo, a Lamb, as it had been slain, came to the very throne of God and took the book. He didn't ask for it. He took it as equal with the Father. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together and they came to the place, verse 9, they came to the place which God had told him of. The place where the temple would later be built. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son. Now, Isaac at this time was probably about a 20-year-old young man. Abraham was 120. Abraham was an old man. And I don't have any doubt that Isaac could have overcome him. I mean, if you were getting bound to have your throat slit and be quartered and burnt up, you reckon you might offer some objections? He could have. But he didn't. He allowed his father willingly to bind him. You see, Abraham told Isaac, son, the promised seed is coming through you. The Messiah is coming through you. Our Savior is coming through you. And he is going to accomplish our salvation. So I have no doubt that upon me killing you and offering you up as a burnt offering, God is going to immediately raise you from the dead. And you know what? He believed his daddy. He believed what his father said. He knew that the promised Messiah was coming through him. He knew that he wouldn't remain dead because he didn't have any seed yet. He knew he would be raised from the dead. And he did all of this willingly. Everything Jesus Christ did, he did willingly. He said, no man takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. this commandment have I received of my Father. I'm no victim in this. This is my will being done. Isaac willingly was bound. Let's go on reading. Verse 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. I imagine Isaac was looking up while this was taking place, looking at the knife, dreading what was going to take place. I'm sure Abraham felt pain that we can't even fathom. But the deed was done in his heart, and now it's going to take place. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son, and the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ, called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. Now he knew this before it took place. But he says, Now I know. And what a type Abraham is as the father. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He spared not his son. He spared not his son. Oh, Abraham provides us with a beautiful type of God the Father giving us God the Son. Verse 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. Now that's the same word used in Numbers 21 when whoever looked at that serpent on a pole when he was bitten lived. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him. I want me and you to understand this. The reason for salvation is behind us. It's not something out in front that we need yet to do. It's already accomplished. The reason for salvation is behind. Don't look anywhere else but him. It's already done. There's not something for you to do. Quit doing. It's done. It's behind you. This is a crude illustration, but when Lynn had that surgery, we've been waiting so long for that, and I remember I thought, I'm so glad that's behind us. It's behind us. Now, you might die tomorrow. I realize that. This is a human illustration, and so human illustration never work all the way, but I thought, that's so good to have that in the rearview mirror. The way of salvation is behind you. It's already done. It's finished. It's accomplished. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. I have no doubt that represents the thorn-crowned brow of the Lord Jesus Christ. Caught in a thicket by his horns, that symbolizes his power. Oh, how powerful the Lord Jesus is, that he can allow himself to be crowned with thorns and put away the sins of his people. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Now, my dear friends, that is the gospel. He offered him up in the stead of his son. You see, the Lord Jesus took the sins of the elect. My sin. And it became his sin. And I say that with fear and trembling. The Lord Jesus took my sin and it became his sin. He owned it as his own. Somebody says, how can that be? Well, the scripture says, when thou shalt make him an offering for sin. Here's how it can be. God did it. For he hath made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God did this. How? He's God. With God, nothing shall be impossible. God did this. He took my sins and my sorrows and made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. He took my sin. God took them off of me and gave them to him. And he willingly took them. Isaac must go free. He must go free. Now I know that Abraham rejoiced when God stopped him. You know who else did? Isaac. Oh, he was happy. He might have been happy. Well, I'm not going to say he's happier than Abraham, but he was just as happy. He offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will see to it. The Lord will see to it. The Lord will provide. This is one of the seven names of Jehovah. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. He'll see to it. Has anybody ever asked you something? They want you to do something? I'll see to it. Well, that's what the Lord God says. I'll see to it. You don't need to worry. I'll see to it. And all of our salvation. I want you. Look at Isaac. How much did Isaac depend upon the Lord to raise him from the dead? Now that pictures the Lord, I know. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. The Lord did, but how dependent was Isaac on the Lord to raise him from the dead? Well, that's how dependent you and I are for God to save us. That's a good place to be, isn't it? Let's close by reading John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Beginning in verse 56. Your father, Abraham, rejoiced to see my day. And I have no doubt that he's talking about Genesis 22. Your father, Abraham, rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it. He was glad. Oh, Isaac was glad too. I can just imagine him going down that mountain floating. rejoicing, happy. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him. Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you for the gospel of thy dear Son. How we thank you that he willingly took our place. How we thank you that you willingly gave him. And Lord, all we can say is thank you for your grace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.